Hey guys, it's Kevin, and I'm here with Eric, and we're in Comixology HQ right now, and we're talking to Moriarty creator Daniel Corey, who has.
Hello.
I like that in comics you get to be called the creator of Moriarty.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah.
God,
wow.
Created,
that's a very good point. Wow.
No, but I mean, you know, it's just something in comics you get. You're called a comic creator because that's the term that people use.
Yeah. Wow. Thank
it's
you.
Very, it's a very
you created
term.
This.
It sounds very powerful. But,
yeah.
But you created this version of Moriarty.
Definitely.
Yeah.
This particular interpretation.
Yeah.
You could say that. I suppose. Yeah.
And it's a pretty wild interpretation in terms of what goes on in the book, and it's a really just a fun kind of romp through a sort of steampunk version, which I guess would lead into my first question, which is getting into. Mm-hmm. How the comic started with Kickstarter and everything, right? You got a lot of your funding through Kickstarter. Did having a sort of public domain character and sort of world established, do you think that helped?
Oh, yeah, I think that definitely helped. That helped all around, with everything. When we were doing that Kickstarter campaign, I was basically raising funds to do our second issue at that time. We were just completely independent. I was shopping to publishers, but kind of had in the back of my mind that I might be publishing it myself, you know. But anyways, yeah, people responded very well because everybody loved the idea of Moriarty. Everybody loved Sherlock Holmes, lore. And that really helped in the Kickstarter campaign. We got on the page of Kickstarter, favorite projects. And I think that they probably were Sherlock fans too. But yeah, and then that really helped. I spent a couple of years shopping. I should have hit like every publisher, I think, out there, and everybody liked it. And they liked the idea of it. Everybody responded so well to it. It was a matter of a lot of people already had Sherlock stuff, or they had something else that was already in that period, or something like that. But when we got around to Image, Image liked it and they ended up publishing it. And it definitely had something to do with, the popularity of the character. So I was just doing something that I wanted to do, coming up with the idea of doing a Moriarty series. That's something I really had a passion for, something I really wanted to do. I didn't know it was going to be, such a good high concept idea. I'm glad it turned out that way.
What's your take on the fandom now? Because it seems like the Sherlock Holmes fandom has really exploded over the past year or two. It's funny because when you kind of think about it, maybe you could even say Sherlock Holmes and Arthur Conan Doyle fans were like the first fandom ever.
Because they had like that what was the name? What's the name of their society that's been around for like 100 years? It's named after
the Wicker Street Irregulars.
Yeah, exactly. The Irregulars. Yeah. And that's like pre-fandom.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There has been a resurgence in Sherlock Holmes stuff. Like since, mm-hmm. I mean, there was the two movies with Robert Downey Jr. There's the new TV series, the British one that Stephen Moffat did. There's there's supposedly an American version of that coming out as well. There's the comic books. Was this sort of resurgence in popularity of the character part of why you wanted to do this, or you just wanted to do this and it just happens to be, at the same time as that?
Again, it was like I was doing something that I wanted to do and I didn't realize so much that it was, going to be so in the zeitgeist and so in the, it was about 2008, I think it was, when I first, or 2007, I think it's the end of 2007, I first started coming up with the idea for the series, and I started really writing it within 2008. And it was during that time that they were announcing the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock, the first movie there. And, and then Dynamite came out with the Sherlock Holmes Year One series.
Right.
And then, and then after that, I heard about the BBC Gaddis and Moffat Sherlock. So I think I was probably part of the wave. I mean, it's the way it usually works in popular culture, Everybody wants to put out their giant asteroid movie all at once because I don't know why everybody comes up with that same idea all at once, but that kind of thing just happens all the time.
Yeah.
you know, that happened with Sherlock, and I was just part of that wave. I was one of those people that just, you know, thought about doing something in the Sherlock world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a good thing. You know, I think we all helped each other in a way.
What's, like, next for this series and in your books and things? You've got two pretty solid volumes under your belt. Yeah, and they're a lot of fun. Yeah. They're available to read on Comixology. We have the collected editions and single issues and everything. Is there like another volume coming out, or do you have other plans for the series and this particular take on the characters you've come up with?
Yes and yes. Well, we're going to be we're on a little hiatus right now, and we're planning on we're publishing in waves right now. You know, so we're taking a little break. A third volume will come out later. I'd like to kind of adopt the model of kind of like, you know, how they did the Hellboy, you know, thing. They come out with mini series here, and then, you know, sometime later they'll come out with another mini series, you know. So I think we're going to be going along that model. So there's going to be a volume three if I can help it. Also, our other plans, which we announced at Image Expo back in February, is that we have we're planning a stage musical adaptation of the book.
Wow!
I'm working with the composer Ray Schnarr, a friend who we're both local here in Los Angeles. We're developing the show together right now, and it's going to be based on the volume one story, The Dark Chamber, which is my personal origin story of. Moriarty, finds himself again in his later years after the death of Sherlock against the backdrop of World War I. So we're putting together a stage musical on that. So I mean, I'm working on a script. I got a script right now. We're in the early stages with the music. We want to, by the end of the year, have some staged readings up of that to, get some attention and help gather investors. So that's a big project. Some folks are a little worried that that's taken away from the comic, and it's not. We're going to be on a hiatus and develop that a little, developing Volume 3 anyway, so I'm still doing that. In addition, I'm working on a new comic series, which hasn't been announced yet, so I can't really tell you what it is yet, but I'm working on it.
Going back to like Kickstarter and all that, and that fundraising fun time, how do you think the whole presence of that site and what it's all about has changed since there seems to have just been an influx of a lot of different projects, but also a lot of comic projects coming in there to get.
Yeah, you were one of the early comic book projects on Kickstarter and really sort of started, we're at the beginning of this trend.
Well, it's a great thing, Kickstarter. It's just an amazing thing, and I'm very thankful for it. And, comic book creators are among some more daring entrepreneurs. You know, we want to put our own product out there, and it's very different. You know, putting together it's just like you and an artist putting together a comic book and getting it out into the market is a mammoth undertaking. A lot of people probably don't really understand that, but it's the equivalent of putting together your own like independent movie. You know. I'm saying, if you got a group of guys and you want to put together on your own little like $2 million indie movie, you know, it's just about that hard to do. So, but Kickstarter is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because, you know, how are you going to fund all this? Because there's always overhead. Kickstarter helps you raise that money. It helps build awareness. And so, it's just natural that there's going to be a ton of comic books. Projects on Kickstarter now.
Yeah,
that's just like the place to go.
Do you think it's actually becoming harder for comic book creators to break into any of the comic book companies because now all the comic book companies just sort of expect you to go out on your own and go out on Kickstarter and self-publish, and this becomes like almost the price of trying to break into comics?
I don't know that. That's an interesting thought, but I don't know. All I can speak to is in my experience, and I've been professionally published through Image for a year. Oh, you know what? Tomorrow, I just realized tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary of Mario.
Happy anniversary! That's awesome.
Congratulations!
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. But all I can speak to is my experience over the past year. So I really can't tell you what everybody expects, what people want. It's just, you know, that kind of stuff changes with the time. It changes depending on who's in charge of a particular company. You know, how much material of a particular genre is out there already. So I don't know. The prevalence of a tool like Kickstarter making it more difficult. I don't think so. It's making it easier for people to self-publish, and there's a lot of value in self-publishing, you know. I don't know that it's making it harder for people to get into a place like Image or any of the other, creator-owned type or independent comic companies.
Right, sure.
That's an interesting question, though. I don't know.
Definitely. So, I mean, I guess that would bring us to the question we ask everybody or on this podcast, Matt and Jake and things. We want to know, like, what do you read right now? Are you big on the creator-owned books? Do you venture out into the big two and mainstream stuff? Like, what comics are you reading these days?
Oh, sure. I try to read a sampling of whatever I can. I want to keep in touch with everything that's going on, you know, as much as possible. As far as the more, I read all the Image books I can. You know, that's home team, you know. And plus, yeah, they put out the coolest and most original stuff, definitely. You know. And that's what they specialize in, cool and original, you know. Guys like me that had ideas that brought them in, you know. So, and they don't manage the brands, you know. They give you a lot of freedom. So, yeah, I definitely read a lot of Image stuff, Yeah, I do. I'm especially into the Bat titles at DC right now. I love Scott Snyder's work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love in Vertigo is part of DC, but it has the more indie edge to it, of course. Yeah. And I love Vertigo. I love Fables. I love House of Mystery and Scott Snyder and American Vampire. Right. You know, that's my favorite Vertigo title. And some of the Bendis stuff at Icon. You know, like Powers is just like a perennial. A big favorite. I love Powers. I loved all Bendis's run on Avengers and all the stuff he did on Daredevil and all that. I tried that a little bit of everything.
Awesome. Excellent, Dan. Well, thanks a bunch. Well, I guess we'll call it there. And it was really great talking with you. And thanks for your time again.
Yeah, great. And good luck with the next installment of Moriarty and whatever this other new comic project is. We'll be looking for it.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. Comic Solace, man. It's awesome. Love it.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Thanks, guys.